Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Are You the One Wrap Up podcast for episode 6. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
No, this is not a male replacement you hear. Still me.
Still you off of Power Weekend.
Yeah, get at me, Vocal Fry haters. Good luck.
What will be good now is if you say anything you regret, you could just say, oh, Brian said that. So
I don't know. This may go lower than you.
we'll have to leave that for everyone else to judge.
No, all masculine sounding opinions are my own. How was your weekend, Brian? You had a good week.
Yeah, my weekend was good too, but my voice stayed intact, which I'm happy about. And I finally didn't get burnt for the first time all summer out in the sun, so that helped too.
Wear your sunscreen, kids.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
That's my PSA for the day.
I am so high on Are You the One? I can't even tell you. I will say, fun employment update. I've reached, I don't know what day is. I don't know what day of the week it is. I'm 9 days. Oh no, what's math? I finished on July 8th, so that's 9 days, right?
July 8th was 18 days ago.
Is today not the 17th?
Today is the 26th.
Oh, my iCal says the 17th. That's all. Okay. I was like, there's no way it was only 10 days. All right. Anyway, so I finished almost 20 days ago, like 2-3 weeks ago, and I'm starting to lose my mind. And today I watched Are You the One? And I tweeted this, like, I had to react to absolutely no one because nobody's watching Are You the One at 11 in the morning. But I paused the TV and was like, what?
You should have just live tweeted it off hour. People would have loved it.
I hate when people do that.
Oh, I do that all the time. It's great.
I know. but no, I just thought this show, the last two episodes, were super fun, in my opinion. I'm excited to talk about them. I do get sad that we don't talk about it every week just because I love the show so much.
No, it's been a great 2 weeks. And it's like we've said it, that this show has given us maybe one of the great MTV villains that we've had in like a long time with Gio. Like, he's up there.
He's not even top of the list on why I like these two episodes. Like, yeah, sure. Like, as a baseline, great. That's another storyline. But everything else that has happened is like giving me life.
Sure. No, absolutely that. But even just like as a side thing. Yeah. But Gio is, I mean, he's like Puck waiting for him to get like kicked out for doing something horrible.
We'll get to the Twitter. And I've like, at this point, I pulled Gio's tweets last week and I've now stopped because I just like really those close to Gio, just like, if you could just reach out to him, make sure he's doing okay.
Wasn't it, didn't he say he was stopping going on Twitter? What, didn't we say that 2 weeks ago? Didn't he say he was like no longer dealing with the social media?
I think you might have read some of his tweeting that we didn't get to report on yet, but I don't know. He said that he's done with MTV. That's in the tweets this week. But I would bet almost anything that he's on the challenge. So he's done with MTV. When he gets that challenge call, I think he'll be whistling a different tune.
Maybe he'll show up on Real World Season 33 instead.
Hey, maybe they'll bring him back next year for Are You the One Season 5.
There you go.
The rules do not apply.
Vets rookies, Are You the One? Boom.
All right. So any highlights you want to talk about from episode 5? We're going to cover mostly episode 6, but episode 5 was a doozy.
Yeah. I mean, mainly just the Gio and Kaylin thing continuing and Gio just could be more and more of a jerk. And it's that the theme of the last 2 weeks, really, for me.
All right. So we'll get more into that. I want to hear just really quickly so obviously last week Gio and Kaylin were deemed not a match. What did you think of Kaylin's reaction to this?
I mean, I think it would have been a lot different if they went in the truth booth a week later, obviously, because at this point they were hoping it wasn't, or they were bracing for it not to be. So I feel like we were kind of robbed of like that crushing moment, because instead of we got the crushing moment just not via truth booth, which I guess is more natural, but it's not like the genesis of the show usually. So I feel a little cheated that we didn't really get that.
Right. It wasn't like a couple mutually in love getting crushed, but I do still think that Kaylin thought they were a match and got crushed almost in a worse way because Gio wasn't even going to feel bad about it. I thought she handled this like a champ in episode 5, you know, just like, you were right. And, you know, she holds her head up.
Yeah, she held it together for almost this whole way up until the matchup ceremony, and then I think she kind of like lost it a little bit, probably understandable, but she's kept her cool for a while.
So my two highlights of last week, forget Kaylin and Gio. That was just the cherry on top of this Sunday, which was, I want to just give a nod to this Steven and Julia date. I mean, I think that that was a valiant effort on Steven's part. I was watching this with Molly Block. She wanted me to add that grilled cheese was a solid choice for food on the date. If anyone's looking to take Molly out. My question is, given what we know now about Julia having a boyfriend on the show while mm-hmm. she was on the show, why don't we see Steven? Like, we still see Steven on Twitter defending Julia. Like, why isn't Steven pissed off?
He probably still thinks he has a chance, right? If things don't go well with the boyfriend.
That's a big holdout. Guess. Do you guys do that? You tell me.
I'm never
doing that.
It depends how things end via the show. Like, if they don't have a blow up or aren't, like, maybe they are a match and then she's just like, kind of just have a boyfriend. But if things don't work out, like, maybe we can try to pursue it. So, I mean, that's a possibility.
But are you still not mad, right? If you've put in all this effort, you fought for her with John, with Gio, you think she's genuinely into you. And then she's like, just kidding. Got a boyfriend. You're not mad about that?
He should be mad, but we've seen that no one is really ever mad at Julia other than the girls, right? I mean, John really wasn't even mad at her. He was more mad at everyone else for telling him to stay away. And Steven's not mad at her. I mean, Gio, she's only mad at Gio. Gio's not mad. Like, no one's ever mad at Julia, at least from the guy's perspective. So it's not really shocking to see that Steven's still not mad at her.
I'm willing to theorize that he knows. Like, because Camille did say on Twitter that people knew in the house, like, maybe she said to Steven, like, I left a guy at home. I'm torn. Like, really, like, maybe she, like, you know, put filigree around it to make it sound nice or whatever. But or the normal person would say sugarcoating it and made it all, you know, an easier pill to swallow. And that's why he's not as mad. Like, maybe she gave him false hope, but also still was like, oh, there's maybe someone back at home. But
right. Yeah. The false. Sure. There's definitely false hope all around, for sure.
And then I'm willing to submit my new favorite couple, or at least my favorite to watch interact, Cam and Victoria. My God. Incredible.
Your favorite? That's a bold statement. Why? What was so incredible for you?
Well, no, okay. I'm going to change that because Alyssa and Sam are like by far my favorite couple, I think, to ever be on Are the One. But just watching two people that make absolutely no sense together just like miss the mark on each other. Like, just like she thinks one thing completely different. He thinks the other. They both have nice intentions. Like, they both seem like nice people, but it's not making any sense. And then here, I mean, I couldn't get over this. So basically the plot line. So here's the thing. First of all, when Cam comes in and says, like, the guys are overlooking your brains, like, don't even lie to me, ladies listening to this. Like, that would totally work on you. Like, that was such a solid move by Cam.
Especially for someone, especially like Victoria, who at first glance, you're always just going to look at her looks. So it's perfect spotting for that line, too.
It's also like she's, God, I don't have the tweets queued up, but I'm all out of order because I'm too excited. No, she tweeted something and I'm scrolling to it. Okay. She tweeted something to the effect of how she felt like really insecure on the show. And so for someone to be like, I see you as more than this whole house and, you know, you're smart. Like, boom, lock it in. Brilliant mm-hmm. job, Cam. Good work. And then he wakes up, actually didn't remember. Do you think that that was just like an immature move?
I don't know why he would lie. Like, why would it be bad that he slept with Victoria? Like, why would he be ashamed of that? So I think he must have not remembered, because I don't know any conceivable notion of why he would lie.
I agree. He totally actually blacked it out, which is also amazing. And then completely mishandled the situation, because it's exactly like you just said, like, there's nothing embarrassing about this. Like, he should say, like, oh, my God, I'm so pissed I missed that, you know, whatever. Instead, he's like, I don't remember, and offers her no reassurance at all in that
right.
moment.
Right. Oh, yeah. To say was like, I don't remember, but like, I'm really happy it happened and I still want to pursue it. I think she would have been fine.
Oh, that was one of my favorite moments all season. That whole thing from start to finish. Amazing. So they are my one to watch right now. Like, I don't even think there's a chance they're a match, But I just love their interactions.
What's if we're pivoting to this week now, but I thought Ken then even handled it worse this week, because for me, if there's one thing I know never to say to a girl, it's smile more. And that's what he said this week.
Well, let's get into that, because I actually thought he did a little bit better this week compared to like the absolute shit show that was the week before.
Really? Because from everything I know, telling a girl to smile more, that's like a recipe for them just hating you, because that's like, isn't that one of the most condescending things you could say to someone?
Well, let's get into it, because context is key. So, well, first he opens with this whole I'm a nervous dork, you know, whatever kind of thing. This was a good play, I thought. I thought here he could have ended it here. Mm-hmm. And that was a great thing. But Ana Jose is a little skeptical, and she says, do you believe Cam when he said he was acting weird with Victoria because he was embarrassed and socially awkward?
I think so, because it doesn't, like, none of it makes sense. I still, like, why would he lie about blacking out? It seemed like it was into her in previous encounters, so he was hoping it would go that way. So I believe him.
I just think Cam, well, first of all, I have to, Molly Block responded to Ana and said, I mean, this is a guy who is watching Ally Periscope from House of Pies on a Saturday night. So I will say that when I was in California, I did some regrettable, blah, 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 blah. Speaking of regrettable, I did some regrettable periscoping. And Cam was like along for the ride for the entirety of the periscope. And we just kept being like, go to bed, Cam. Why are you awake? He's like, because I'm a normal guy. All right. I also did try to arrange an interview with him at House of Pies. We'll see what happens. Okay.
To be determined.
So he also added that, like, I don't need to feel like I can't say what I want to say because he was participating in Periscope. Trust me, I'm going to say exactly how I feel about everyone. But I do happen to like him, so it works out.
Well, there you go.
All right. So then, yes, this is where he takes, like, a little bit of a turn for the worse. First, he says, like, I don't speak with a lot of women who, like, speak so high of themselves and are at this level, basically. I'm just loving this. I'm loving, like, city girl, country boy, like, makes absolutely no sense. Never would have met otherwise. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, he does say, you're too pretty not to smile all the time. I'm sorry.
No, that was my reaction, too.
Just brush over that.
That was my reaction, too. Yeah.
Valerie Witchellhouse says, I love hearing Allie's feminist take on things. Which is worse, a rando yelling at you to smile when you're out walking, or Cam telling Victoria she's too pretty not to always be smiling? I want to say that Cam's intention was like, you're too good a girl. You're too pretty not
spin
to be happy.
This. Come on, get in the spin zone. Happy. Spin it.
However, he did step on an absolute landmine of things that guys should never say to women. The context here, I think Valerie's pointing out, is yes, a random guy yelling at girls to smile, or a commenter tweeting at a podcaster to smile more, is different than a guy using this as a pickup line. Because obviously he was like, you're too beautiful not to smile. But yeah, Cam, just let's just take that out of the repertoire and stick to everyone's overlooking your brains.
Yeah, go back to talking about our brains, Cam. You were yeah, in your sweet spot there.
Yeah, two steps forward, one giant leap back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not good.
But
she doesn't seem offended, though, so that was good for him.
Yeah, if that's what I'm saying in context. Like, if I were in that situation, feminism or not, shmeminism, whatever, like, I'm not going to yell at a guy like who told me I'm pretty and should smile. Like, I know, you know what I mean? Like, the context was not.
Right.
The context needs to be taken into consideration. But yes, out of context, that was like a bullshit thing to say.
Yes.
How would you feel, Brian, if someone told you to smile more?
I'd probably say fuck you. So there you go.
In context, like your girlfriend saying to you, like, oh, you just got in a fight. And she's like, Brian, you're too cute not to smile. You say fuck you.
Okay, well, now we're adding more context. See, context is important. Well, I guess I would smile. I don't know. That's like I always view that as a weird thing to say to someone. Smile more. It's like, why can't I just like just look the way I look? Let me be me.
Amen, sister girl.
Yeah.
How about this? All right. So you're now a woman with years and years of women on your shoulder to make proud. Someone says smile more. What do you do? I'm just kidding. Who are you voting for? No. Okay.
Whoa.
No, I'm just kidding. So speaking of great political speeches, Asaf pulls a Melania Trump and plagiarizes almost to a T what the great Martin Luther King had to say.
He has a dream.
This is really what
MLK meant, right? He didn't mean like equal voting rights and being treated right and having opportunity for jobs. He wanted just everyone to sleep together. That's what he really wanted, the gist of his speech.
I mean, I wasn't there. But
we weren't there. We don't know.
We also weren't there for this because someone, I forget who, might have been Gio, tweeted like, if only you heard Asaf's entire speech.
If only we heard Asaf's entire season. I'm sure he was giving this type of speech every 3 days.
Oh my God! Did you see the bonus clip, the deleted scene of Alexis back?
Of who?
Asaf's alter ego, Alexis.
Oh yeah.
That was incredible.
The deleted scenes have actually been pretty interesting. So people should check it out.
I was going to say
MTV.com.
This last 2 weeks were definitely good. For anyone who doesn't give a shit, you should still watch it. Basically, Asaf comes back out in drag and is doing interviews with what looks like an inflated condom.
I think so. Asaf seems like just a really fun guy, but like the exact opposite person that you should be trying to like lock down as a boyfriend because they won't last. But as like a guy in your crew that you go out with and you want to have a fun time, he seems like a blast.
When he goes and interviews Camille's butt, I almost peed my pants. He's like, Camille's tushy.
Even his, like,
what
fortune.
Do you think? Who's going to be the next one to hug Camille?
His fortune telling to Kayla in this episode, too, was like perfect.
Oh, my God. Love Asaf. I'm sorry. I'm back on the Asaf train.
And just don't sleep with someone the night before someone thinks you're going to tell them that you love them. That's still one thing you got to work on.
But he's still somehow pulling it off.
Yeah,
like nobody.
The accent. It's the accent.
Nobody has a problem.
Nope.
All right. So I think this brings us to the challenge.
Yeah. I mean, other than this may be the first time in perhaps ever we've seen discussion about throwing a challenge for someone, right? Or at least this early in the game.
Yeah. So we have a question about that. But let's see. Jess Small says, how great was it to finally see the cast use the challenge to put the right people in the truth booth?
Yeah, and it was like an actual discussion. It's like, yeah, no, we absolutely should try to put Sam and Alyssa, but sometimes the challenges we can't really throw. There's no real way to do it. Like, I feel like that's the type of conversation we've had many times in the last 3 seasons. So, shout out to this cast.
Yeah, and we'll get to it. So when Tori goes up against Alyssa and is like, even if I know the answer, I'm not touching the buzzer. The only time I got a little frustrated is like, if you know the answer, touch the buzzer and say the wrong one.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Tori, be better than that. One time, be better.
But I will say I was pumped to see that. And it bodes well for however many episodes are left of this season.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this cast has actually done a pretty good job of the combination of strategy and following your heart. So I think this cast actually is on the right track, even though they've never got more than 4. So who knows?
Yeah, they opened strong, I think, which set our expectations high in terms of the beams. They're not doing a great job at like, you know, what Devin would do last season with the cups or whatever. And remember, like, try to remember who you were sitting with. But they're doing great jobs at having valuable truth booths.
Yeah, I mean, it's still early. Like, there's still 4 weeks left. You don't really get super desperate usually until like about week 8. So if they're still like not there yet, then that's still a problem. But we saw last season, I don't think they got more than, 3 all season and then 1. So usually not going to win until week 9 or 10 anyway.
Well, it's good to see them not, like, strategizing before desperate times because basically, yeah, what happened last season was, like, they knew they had a couple of options and they just had to bet on one match and build the rest from there. Yep. So it was pretty lucky that they got the matches last season.
Yeah. What did you make of the challenge? I didn't catch the name of the challenge. I don't know if he said it. But
I just wrote mommy.
Yeah, I don't know. I really tried to listen for the names. I don't remember him saying a name for the challenge. So, but basically it was just a head-to-head matchup of guessing which quote about a guy from the mom was to who.
All I know is if this means the exes aren't coming, then I'm always upset to see parents over exes, but at least they're not in the house. I didn't mind the video conference.
Yeah, why do you think they all didn't fly out? Why do you think they did it this way?
Because they're doing it on the cheap.
Yeah, that's probably right.
There were no black ads to sponsor their flights.
Did you like the head-to-head style and not just like they all line up and like the mother, like you hear a question and you just guess the answer?
Yeah, I like this. This was more in the style of a Big Brother challenge where it's like a must-win situation. You're either right or you're out. and then the winner gets to name the next pair. Like, that is very Big Brother. And I liked it. It's faster paced. The only thing is, I have to imagine we only really saw one from each guy. So then it kind of seemed like, well, when Sam was up as another answer, it must not be him, that kind of thing. I'm assuming that there were more rounds than that. So like at the end, I was like, isn't this obvious? But I don't know.
Well, I do think we saw every round. Right.
So then did it eliminate? There were no duplicates. Well, maybe it was just they didn't have a Steven or a Prosper. And
yeah,
so
because
they
were. Yeah, there were seven rounds. I think that would knock everyone out. But two. I was just looking at my list. Yeah, I think everyone.
But didn't they have another multiple like where somebody? Why did I think they had somebody who was already picked, whose mom spoke as still an option?
Everyone went. Because they saved Alyssa for last, which is like very smart for them. So she only had to go for like the championship round. But yeah, I don't know how they decided which quotes they used. Because yeah, some of them were doubled.
All right. So anyway, any more fun ones that stuck out to you from this?
Not really. I did enjoy the fact that everyone was wrong for like the first four in a row. I thought that was going to just be the trend of the challenge. But nothing really stuck out that was like, oh my God, this is crazy. I mean, it was like imaginary friends puking from chocolate, like just normal kid stuff.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about that being wrong is like I thought these answers were so obvious, like who sucked his thumb until he was five, Tyler or Sam? Like obviously that's Sam. Like, I mean, who's so little about Sam, but who, mm-hmm. if you gave me the whole house to pick who is a thumb sucker until age five, I would have said Sam at least in my first two responses.
What I was really hoping was one of them had like an interracial parent, so they put up a screen like a black mom or a white mom, and people were like, because they were cheering when they saw like the race of the people, like, oh, that's definitely this person. I was hoping one of them would have the opposite to like fool them, but that never happened.
Yeah, that was pretty classic that they reacted like that. But one thing I do want to say is Asaf's mom settles this debate permanently by pronouncing her son's name Asaf.
There you go.
And dang. Yet everybody is still saying Asaf, including Ryan.
At this point, he is Asaf to them, Asaf to everyone else.
And then I thought the chocolate thing also, like, Morgan has not eaten a piece of chocolate in his entire life, much less ate enough chocolate to throw up.
Right. And then of course, Tyler is to throw in the scared of crazy ex-girlfriends as if no one would be afraid of just him.
Yeah, right. No, it's like he was never the problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, so ultimately...
Oh, what did you make of John having not seen his mom in 3 years?
I felt bad, actually. Like, yeah, I legitimately...
That was surprising.
Well, it's like one of those things, like, where people... things about these shows, like, the real... All reality shows, like, always open my eyes to people outside of my sphere, right? Like, mm-hmm. I never really moved... Like, he's originally from Louisiana, then moved to Nebraska, is now in LA. Like, he was working, couldn't get time off to come home. Some people don't have money to come home. Like, it always reminds me, like, oh, not everyone lives, like, a stone's throw from their parents.
Right. Yeah. It was good. This was probably... I mean, this had to be John's best episode, so good for him. At least coming across good.
Yeah, we'll get into... People were very impressed by John. I thought it was, like, just whatever for John.
Well, it was just him not being an asshole, which is, like, a huge step up, so...
All right, so speaking of John, Emma wins also with Alyssa. Mm-hmm. And Leah Knight wants to know, why would Emma pick John when she knew that Alyssa also won? She wasn't going to go in the truth booth with her partner, so why not pick someone you'd like to hang out with?
I mean, I think because she still likes John, right? Like, she still wants to build that connection. If she still thinks it's her match, she's going to want to, like, get to know him more and try to make it happen.
Yeah, we'll go to Plainview Sue for this one, who just said Emma likes John. She wanted him from day one.
Boom.
Duh. No, I mean, it's tough because, and I could see myself saying the things that Emma says, but it's almost like Emma doesn't need to give the disclaimer or the drum roll before everything she says about John. Like, she could just say, I want to pick John. But instead, she has to say, like, oh, I've been trying to avoid this situation. Or when she picks him, like, I'm trying to not pick John, but I'm John.
Right. Yeah, I mean, she's a little bit of, like, an attention seeker. So that's also an issue.
I mean, I think she's insecure given the situation. Like, she still likes him, but she was so rejected by him. But it's almost like you got to commit to the bit. If you're going to pick him anyway, then just, like, pick him.
Yeah, I mean, she did. And obviously, as they showed, they seemed like they had a good time. And again, as we say, like, even if John doesn't like you, you still might be a match. So you want to at least give it a shot and try to convert him. So
right,
this
was, which
this was her chance. Because getting out of the house is just a totally different dynamic as opposed to being around 20 people.
And then before we get to the date, we have this sickening moment between Julia and Gio.
Oh, God. Gio. Oh, the classic of just people in this house just saying you're my match without any basis behind it. And shout out for Julia. She calls him out. I was like, you don't know anything about me. Oh, I don't need to know. It's feel. As if that makes any sense at all.
No, literally when he's saying, like, maybe not your history, but I know how you act. Like, all I could hear was, like, every step you take. Yeah. Like, he's just watching her. It's so creepy. I've been watching you, so you're my badge.
What's funny is, like, this is kind of what we wanted Julia to do to John if she wasn't interested. And she's doing it to Gio. She's like, this is, like, you're not, I don't like you at all.
I totally disagree.
Really?
That she's doing anything different than what she did with John.
Oh, she, I mean, she's blatantly moment. Telling him, like, this is.
No, she's blaming him.
Yeah.
Right. She's not saying I don't like you. We'll just wait for it right here. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead because this is one of the biggest things that I'm excited to talk about. So, yes. Okay. In this moment, good on Julia. But it lasts her about 10 seconds. But I will say that it's funny because all this game that Gio's spitting, like, totally worked on Kaylin and is not working at all on Julia. Like, the we don't need to know why. I just go with my why. Why are you asking why? Like, all of that mess is, like, what Kaylin bought into. Mm-hmm. And Julia is, like, such a completely different person.
I guess also because she's just gotten to be around Gio for a few weeks and get to see that he's a scumbag.
Emily Crow wants to know, simple question, why does Gio think Julia is his match?
Because he wants to hook up with her.
Because she's hot. Mm-hmm. Oh, rum, bum, bum. Okay. Yep. I think something about not having a voice makes me want to stretch it more.
It's like being told you can't do something. You want to do it more.
Oh, I want to jump to why I pissed at Julia this episode. Okay, but let's go back. One of my favorite scenes, Asaf and Camille. Incredible moment this week, I thought.
Yeah, this is a, I want to take things slow. I don't want to be judged. So you go back to your bed. Okay, never mind. Let's hook up.
All I don't want sentence. You. I don't want you to fall in love with me. Like, he also said that to Tori, like something like that. Yeah. Like, you're going to fall in love with me. That's his one bit.
I mean, he's got a good line. It's worked twice, right?
That's all he has.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I love that. Like, yeah, Asaf takes Musters. All the willpower he has and hooks up with her in public. I love it.
It didn't even seem like they edited that much. It seems like he just, like, she rolled off the bed and he just, like, followed. Like, they didn't seem like it was, like, that much later after he contemplated what to do.
I don't think you need to edit us off. Like, I think everything he's doing is 100%. If anything, they're cutting things out. Probably. And we're seeing them in the deleted scenes.
Yeah. Oh, it's off.
Okay, yeah. Then that lights a match that sets off the Gio and Francesca bomb.
Ooh, Franny. Yeah. Oh, Franny. Oh, always second fiddle. Always trying to be more, but always second fiddle.
Andrew Evans says, can you please talk about the uncomfortable choking moment when Gio grabbed Francesca's throat to pull her in for a kiss?
When did he do? I don't remember this at all.
Sorry. When did he do? Okay, so when they went to hook up, when he was, like, yeah, touching all over her, you might have looked away because it was so disturbing.
Yeah, probably.
I understand. So then she's, like, mounting him and he grabs her by the throat and pulls her down.
Oh, shit.
It's not, like, a straight up,
like, violent choke, pull her, or, like,
no, it's not, like, violent.
A sexual pull?
It's not violent. I don't think it was sexual, but it was used in a sexual way. Yeah. He grabs her by the throat, but not hard. Like, if it was any harder, it would be violent, right?
Right.
But he, like, holds her by the throat and pulls her down.
I mean, she must have been into it. It worked. So.
Is Francesca into anything she's doing? I feel like she's just an emotional wreck, like, pinballing, boom, 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 like, across, like, wherever someone gives her attention. Like, I genuinely am starting to feel bad for her.
Yeah, she really needs to, like, push the reset button and start her time in the house over again, because it is not going well.
She needs to push the eject button and just get the hell out of there.
Because imagine she's like, all right, I'm done. I'm going to go live in the honeymoon suite and just be, like, a third or fifth wheel.
Yeah, right. If she was allowed to do that, they'd bounce her ass right on. No, I mean, in this place, it's like Gio's a guy who should not be allowed to look at girls, much less grab them by the throat. But I'm not going to like get all up in arms about it because it seemed like a sexual thing between them. But in my opinion, it was disturbing and horrible.
But I mean, anything Gio does is I'm not about foreplay was pretty much for everything you need to know about Gio.
Yeah, well, it's like he takes the most vulnerable girl in the house. Everyone knows she's been like emotionally destroyed, comforts her as like a technique to get with her. Mm-hmm. And then is like also saying to the camera, like, Julia's my match, but like I'm bored, basically. Like he just totally like dogs her out on camera. It's just like, oh, so gross. And then, yes, the piece de resistance is I'm not about foreplay. Meanwhile, Francesca's all over Twitter saying they did not have sex, and that was editing.
Really? Because it definitely seemed like they did.
Yeah, I'll read. I don't even want people to have to hear me fumbling through. I'll pull those during the Twitter segment. But okay. It was just, it's so gross. And then Kaylin, yeah, I totally agree. Kaylin's saying like he sees her as the weakest girl in the house, so it's not surprising.
Stalking his prey.
Yeah, he's literally a predator. I didn't know if that was like too extreme to say about someone.
No, he's a predator.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, like, not like a evil, there's much worse predators out there, but he is like a predator in what he does.
All right, let's rank predators. I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. But yes. Okay, I'm glad you said that.
Michael's scooping up there, and Gio's much lower down.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, Michael scooping.
All right. The date.
This date, I mean, thinking about the dates, like, they're very kind of boring to watch for the most part. But this one did, like, seem fun to be a part of.
I mean, all the dates seem fun to me, but it's like, when Sam starts going on about, like, if we die, like, whatever, I'm with the person I want to die with, like, please. Yeah, you're fine to die. You've known someone 2 weeks. Let's just die together. Let's make a pact.
John's, like, ultimate, like, oh, do you work out, bro? Shirt?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it was like, work harder, lift bigger, be better. It's classic Hardo shirt.
I only noticed Camille's outfits. But no, this is why, like, so John, I guess, comes off well, or like when I watched this by myself at 11 o'clock this morning, I didn't think John came off well. I mean, he didn't come off badly.
That's really
but
the thing.
Like,
he just didn't come off bad, which is like, really, for the house, is like a plus.
Emma's pretty emotionless. But now she's fine. Like, she's been miserable in the house. It's like, maybe because you beat her down and embarrassed her and, like, you know, metaphorically broke her heart, you know, like, as much as you could break someone's heart in the first week. You know, it's like, why do you think she's emotionless?
Yeah. Now you're fine after I didn't just call you out saying, oh, I don't want to be with you. Yeah, that'll make someone not fun. And I'm not even a big Emma fan.
I want Emma to get off talking about Julia. Like, let it go, Frozen style. Yeah. You know, like, she's on a date with a guy she likes, away from the house, and all she could talk about is, like, yeah, when you thought Julia was funny, I was like, she's not funny, I'm funny. Why do you have to bring her up?
Yeah, that's a little bit of crazy in her. That is always, that has kind of pushed me away.
Yeah, I hated this date between John and Emma, and I only remember it because I wrote down, I hated this date.
There you go. But yeah, I mean, good for Sam and Alyssa. They're cool, crazy kids.
I don't even know what they talked about because my heart melted so much and I can't take notes with no heart. And so I just remember it was absolutely heart melting.
I'll bring this up now. We can talk about it later, but are they
bring
like,
it up now?
Are they the most strong couple that has ever been a perfect match? Like, confirm perfect match in the truth.
Well, how do we know that? Right. Like, the only comparison would be Ethan and Amber, right?
They didn't even go in the truth booth.
Okay, so wait, what are you saying?
So
what,
like,
are you asking?
Of the couples who've gone to the honeymoon suite, like, they seem like the most perfect for each other. Like, even more than Michaela.
I mean, I don't know these people, but yeah, I think they're the thing is we didn't get to see Michaela and Cameron for that long.
Right.
So, like, they connected, they went to the truth booth, they're a perfect match. We don't know anything about their relationship. Like, I feel like we kept getting hit with moments with Sam and Alyssa where they just seem to really vibe. I don't know that we got that because Kayla and Kim went too soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. But it just seemed like all in every season, all like the initial connections seemed to fail. And they were just like the rare one that actually was right.
No, we're definitely going to get, I mean, I think, I couldn't find. Sam and Alyssa were like teasing whether or not they're still together. Then basically Sam tweeted, "I love you," and she wrote, "Love you more." So I'm assuming they're together. I mean, we're then. This is definitely the best season for the matchmakers.
Definitely. I mean, it seems like they're at least two couples are still together. So,
and they're actual couples. Like last season, we had two couples, but they were just randoms.
Yeah, non-perfect matches. Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, like my reaction was like that Sam and Alyssa are like my favorite couple, perfect match couple or otherwise in Are You the One history. So I think I'm having the same like feelings you're having of like they're the most legitimate couple we've seen who are actually a match.
Maybe we'll get the baby shower before season 5.
Sam, you can cover that with Dane. you know what? I will say that I was obsessed with them until Sam used the phrase lovers. But I'm still willing to look past that. When he was like, we go from friends to lovers, I was like, whoa.
I mean, that's typical Sam to use that. Like he's like the ultimate guy to use the word lover.
Except for the song Lovers and Friends. I never want to hear the word lovers ever used.
Make love, lovers. He definitely says all that stuff.
I will say when we get to the truth booth, deliberation, whatever we call it, it was cute in like a sick way that Asaf is like, I'm mad about Francesca and Gio because Francesca deserves better. Yeah. And like, that's so true.
I mean, she does. She deserves, and he knows that he's not even worthy. Like she deserves better than Gio, but also deserves better than me.
I don't know about that. I feel like they're on the same level. Like they both made some mistakes.
Oh, I mean, I think that he doesn't. I think he thinks that he's not good enough.
I don't know. Once we get to, it's almost funny because he was like, Tori, I don't deserve you. But at the matchup, Francesca, I do deserve you.
You told me to follow my heart. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow my heart. I am so bad with accents. Oh my God. I apologize.
No, I prefer you do it because it just makes mine seem that much better. But all right, what do you make of this whole Kaylin mantra now that Gio and Francesca must be a match because they're a boy and a girl who will make each other men and women?
I think it's partly true, but partly she's doing it because she's just as pissed at both of them and is like, this is her way to needle them. Like, oh, they're boy and girl, they're boy and girl. But like, I think it's also partly true.
I agree with everything Kaylin is saying this episode, but could you be more condescending? And it's like, could you make yourself look worse in this moment? Like, all you need to do is what Emma did in the beginning and just sit back and watch the fireworks.
See, I thought I didn't think she was that bad. She didn't like let it get to her head. She didn't blow up. She just said her reasoning and that was it. I thought matchup ceremony is when she went too far.
Yeah, I'm kind of just like putting it all in one boat here. Yeah. But no, but it's just like the. Oh, you're a guy, he's a boy and she's a girl. I'm like, well, it may be true. It's like, it's not your place, Kaylin. Like, that's just what bothers me. It's like, she's stepping out, acting like she's holier than thou. But by doing that, she's like digging herself right in the trenches behind you.
Yeah, she's not exactly making herself look like that, even like that great for other people, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're not mature by bringing other people down. Yeah. I don't know. It just like rubbed me. While I agree with her, it like really rubbed me the wrong way, especially given the deleted scene.
Yeah, because Francesca. Yeah, it seemed like they did talk it out and she seemed cool with it. But and then obviously she wasn't. Unless this was before them hooking up, which is a possibility. Although she said in the deleted scenes it was after that. So maybe not. I don't know.
I'm going to just assume the order is the order as seen, right? Like, she definitely confronted him before or spoke to Kaylin. It appeared to be like the morning after she hooked up with him.
That's what it seemed like.
All right. Anyway, so Sam and Alyssa are a perfect match, not to be overshadowed by Kaylin and Francesca.
Pop the champagne. And how about Camille? Give Devin a shout out. Never give up on love.
That's the only thing I don't like about Camille right now.
Yeah. I can't like that. Devin's going to make a trademark off that. He needs to. That's going to be the theme of the show. People are going to be saying it for years.
How pissed is Curtis right now?
Yeah, it's a bummer. Weren't they supposed to be a thing? Like Devin, like what was their tag team name?
No, that's Chuck. Different seasons.
Oh, right.
But Curtis's thing was Do What You Love.
Yeah, Again. Do What You Love. But that's not as good. That's not as good. Devin's is better.
It's just two completely unoriginal phrases.
Of course.
And just who could shout them more often.
But the problem is, Curtis didn't really shout it. Devin made a point to, like, shout it out throughout the season. Curtis just, like, hashtagged it.
No, Curtis was definitely an afterthought. He did do branded merchandise. I don't know where that ever went, but I did not buy any.
Not him. Who's with Jen right now? Oh, that is Curtis, right? Are they still together?
Yeah, Curtis.
Are they still together?
I mean, I can go on Instagram. I'm not sure. I only really follow the current season.
I'm not asking you. I was just thinking off the top of my head.
Despite what it may seem, I do have a life. I cannot do such a deep dive, but I will try to make an effort to figure that out. I think they're still together.
Hope so.
All right. Before we go totally off the rails, what's next?
Morgan reading Tori's palms.
Oh, yes.
Solid opening.
Jennifer O'Hara says, how many more matches will Tori think she has before the end of the season?
Maybe she'll be the Kiki. Every single guy. She's going to go through every one.
But there's a total difference, right, between Tori and Kiki, because I feel like Tori is not hung up on one guy. Like, it would be the same if she was, like, still with Prosper, but was still trying to make matches. Like, I don't know. I think Tori is the ideal person you want on the show, where she's resilient. She doesn't get too beaten down by not having her first choice be her perfect match. And she's open. Like, she's not, I don't know. I commend Tori. I think she's doing a really good job for the show.
Oh, no, totally. I was just thinking that she's going to go through everyone. But yeah, no, she's doing great. Good for her. And she seems totally cool. She seems like a totally cool down-to-earth chick to hang out with. So I like Tori.
So this is funny. She dropped a new song. Where is it? Oh my God. Sorry. Everything is a mess. Damn. Where is it? All right. Well, she dropped a song that's basically about people who slut shame people. And I just think it's so boss. And I will find it before the end of our podcast is over. Sorry, everyone. Okay.
Keep the suspense. So, yeah,
what do you think of Morgan and Tori?
See, Morgan is one of them that, like, we haven't seen much at all. So there's no real reason to hate him much. But then we have, like, the rumors of what he did, like, before the show. And it's kind of clouded it for me.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that.
Because he doesn't seem like that. I mean, he seems like a kind of like a douchebag type of guy. But yet that hasn't really come across. So for now, I guess I can root for them to be together. Sure.
Yeah, I just feel like, is Morgan drunk every episode, or does he just, because I remember in the beginning montage, like his interview video or whatever, it seemed like he was absolutely wasted. But now it's like every confessional, he's like, hey, Tori, let me read your poem. Like, is he just talk like that, or is he just absolutely wasted the whole time?
It seems like that's just his voice, because he even has that look where he always looks wasted too. But like, I think that's just his face.
I don't know. He keeps up a lot of jobs to be drunk all the time. I think he might just be enjoying his first vacation.
Could be. You know what?
From all the work.
So I think it's all free. All the liquor they give them is unlimited. So go for it.
Yeah, I don't know that I guess Morgan and Tori could be a match, but I don't see that being like a real love connection.
No, I don't see any I love you tweets going back and forth postseason.
All right. So here is the moment I've been waiting for. Just one person. Gio and Julia yet again have another conversation where Gio is doing the same old tired, like, I'm your match, I'm your match, whatever. Now Julia starts using the Francesca card. Like, well, if you think I'm your match, you've gone about it the wrong way. Why would I ever go for a guy who says they're into Francesca? As though there was a chance before that. Like, that's what's bothering me, is like, Julia can't just be like, look, I'm not interested, or I'm interested in Steven. Now it's like, you blew the chance that you didn't have before. It's like, if he didn't hook up with her, would you have had a chance? Like, that's what Julia's making it out to be. And that's what bothers me. It's the same thing she did to John.
I don't know. I didn't read it like that. I thought it was like, if you really knew me, then why would you think that doing this is what I like? Like that's just showing how little you know of me. So how do you even think we're a match?
How can it be though personal to her, right? Like, why would any girl want a guy that's into her to hook up with someone else? Julia takes a stand about hooking up with other girls. Like, that's just like a basic thing.
It is, but for her, like, this is just her situation. So she's like, if you really like know me as a person, then why would you do this and still think I'd be like cool with it? So
to me, it's the same thing as what she did to John, where it's like, John, you're too aggressive. Like, you're too, like, if you weren't yelling, like, then I'd be into you. Like, I don't know. Like, look, Julia's in a tough spot because Gio's an absolute creep and doesn't take no for an answer. And I would legitimately be scared of Gio if I were in the house. So I'll give her all of that. But from my reaction, and maybe I'm just biased because I feel like I know Julia. I've been watching her and I know her. I know I'm not her match. And I just felt like it was another twist of the situation. Like, she can't just say, I don't have feelings for you. She has to say, you did this, so obviously I'm not interested in you because of that.
I feel like she said like everything but those exact words. I mean, she's said like, I don't believe anything that comes out of his mouth. Everything he says is bullshit. Like,
yeah, because why would I be interested in you if you hooked up with her? Like, you weren't interested in him anyway.
Yeah, but I feel like she's not like to John. She was like leading him on. Like, I don't see any leading on to Gio.
No, you're right. She's not. She's definitely not showing any interest in Gio or saying anything to him off game. Like, no. I totally agree. It's not like there's interest on her part, but I don't know. Just for some reason, the way she like clung on to him hooking up with Francesca and like rode that through the night. Like, it was just like, nope, now you've hooked up with her. Now I have every excuse not to be into you.
Right.
As opposed to just like not being into him. But you're right. Maybe I'm being too tough on her.
Maybe. Or maybe I'm being too lenient. I don't know. I've been called a Julia apologist. So.
Well, you are, but I think it's good. I think it's good to have a balance. We don't know who yet is the alpha in this situation, but I think depending on the situation, one of us might be the smartest mother in here.
How about Gio bringing back the phrase, someone's going to get cracked? When was the last time you heard that? Getting cracked?
Honestly, not that long ago. No. Really? No. But God, it was scary because he picks up the wine bottle and he says it. He's like, and the next person to invade my personal space. All we've seen is Gio invading women's personal space from Julia to Francesca to Kaylin. Now, all of a sudden, if someone invades his space, like, please, who has stepped to him?
God, I really wanted John to like give him one of those like shoulder bumps and walk right past him to see what would happen. That would have been perfect.
Billy Gross wants to know, does the fact that Julia had a boyfriend during filming make the battle between Steven and Gio even more ridiculous?
Of course, because there's no like prize at the end, right? Like, even if you win Julia, you don't really even win Julia.
Julia is not an object right. to be won, Brian. Yeah, no, totally. Like, there's. It's almost like you see Julia and you think, you feel like she's thinking, like, she just wants to scream, like, hey, guys, like, don't worry about it. I don't like either one of your asses.
I'm worried if, like, if this was WWE, like, the end of, like, this fight, like, the Julia's boyfriend's entrance music would blast and he would just come strolling through and be like, all right, I'm here.
Yo, now you're straight up pandering.
Hey, someone has to make the wrestling references.
That's not even a wrestling reference. That's somebody walking into entrance music.
No, but it's you need the entrance music.
All right. So one thing is we do get a scene of Cameron and Michaela. And but I want to say that I'm not interested at all in that because MTV has encouraged them. And well, MTV put it out on their page that they're still together. Like, do you think we'd care more about it if we didn't know their situation?
I care equally zero. Unless it was them fighting and about to like break up, then it would show nothing for me. They're like on a different show. They're not even on the show anymore. It's like if you show people who are good. That's why I don't really care that much about like Ponderosa, because they're off the show. This isn't the show anymore. Go away.
See, I used to like different than I see what you're saying, but I used to like the Curtis and God, what's her name? Sandy?
Shelby.
Curtis and Shelby like scenes because I was like, oh, do they have a chance? Like, and I guess it's different because they weren't really together in the house.
Right.
But I just feel like I wanted to see how the couples were getting along. Like, is there going to be a chance for them outside of the house? Like, are they, maybe there's trouble in paradise. But now that before they even leave, we know that they're still together in real life, I have absolutely no interest in seeing them in the honeymoon suite. Then I feel like I'm just watching someone's honeymoon. Like, I don't want to be on the wall at someone's honeymoon.
It's creepy. Like, we even tell you, the dates are always the most boring part. And this is a date, but with people who are already confirmed to be a match. So it's not like there's any drama of the date.
And it's going well.
Yeah.
Like, show me when they start fighting.
No one wants to watch a train going smoothly. That's boring as hell. Show me when there's some turbulence and start shaking off the rails.
Speaking of train wrecks, let's get to this matchup ceremony.
Yeah, guys' night. Guys' night. Start with John. Starts off with Emma.
Even that was a snooze. Like, you almost wanted John and Emma to, like, be something, and it was like, meh.
And even here, Emma's like, oh, obviously. It's like, Emma, you went on, like, one date after, like, hating each other for a month. It's not, like, that obvious that he would pick you. Like, relax.
When Cam picked Victoria, though, I did applaud in my room by myself.
Perfectly normal thing, though.
I want to watch the reality show. Like, they are... What was the Blink with Travis Barker and his former wife's reality show? Like, that's almost how I view this. Like, I just, or like Dave Navarro and Carmen Electra. Like, it's just like two people that to me make no sense. Like, I want to watch them like live their lives and exist together.
Country boy and city girl.
Do you know the show I'm talking about with Travis Barker?
I don't.
Okay. Well, let's keep going and I'll look this up.
Morgan and Tori. Nothing.
Nothing.
And then Steven gets the call before Gio and gets to pick his girl, Julia.
Now, first of all, the show is called Meet the Barkers. And it was on MTV for two seasons that I watched in 2005. Okay, enough about me. I'm about to make your head explode right now. Do you have an idea of why Steven went first?
No, I have no idea. And it makes no sense.
Well, Gina Monique Purvey is about to blow your brains out.
Lay it on me.
Gina says, with the storyline of Gio, Steven, and Julia, and them letting Steven pick before Gio, isn't the obvious answer that Gio really is her match? They let Steven pick to make sure it lasts 10 episodes.
Wait, why would Steven picking make sure it lasts?
Well, they're just guaranteeing that there are some fewer matches, right? Like, I never thought about this, but obviously we know that they tell the producers who they're going to pick, and then the producers make the order. So if somebody's got their eye on the wrong guy, the producers can make them go first and guarantee that based on the picking order that they won't get more matches.
Wait, so she's saying it guarantees that Gio is Julia's match?
Not a guarantee, but the potential answer is that Gio and Julia are a match. So the producers let Steven go first and kept Gio and Julia apart.
I think it would be the opposite. Because if Gio and Julia are a match, they would want them to pick each other to not get a blackout. Because they blacked out this week, then Steven and Julia would be done.
But they know all the other pairs. Like, they presumably know that who everyone's going to pick.
Yeah, I don't.
I think this is so... You are totally...
My mind is fully encased in my skull right now. There's no blown.
But all right. Why are you dismissing, though? It's not like they only got three matches. I feel like what you're saying makes sense if they only get three matches.
I just don't see the logic behind, like, why that would keep... Why, if Gio picked Julia, why that would end...
Because Steven and Julia still assume that they're a match, right? So they get matched up. Gio and Julia don't get matched up, so they can't even make those connections in the house and, like, say, like, oh, we got one additional match. Maybe blah, 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 blah. Maybe it's Gio and Julia. Maybe there's more to this. And we always talk about it. Even if there's only one match, right now there are two matches up for grabs. Steven and Julia assume they're one of them.
There's no reason
for them to think like, oh, maybe we should go in a different direction. They're like, no, we're solid. I'm not going to give Gio a chance.
I could say my mind is definitely not blown.
All right. Just in general, even if we're going to forget the Gio and Steven situation, like, I've never thought about it this way, that the producers can completely orchestrate a blackout or the win based on the order in certain situations. I mean, obviously, at some point, like, Sam was always going to pick Alyssa, like, and nobody was going to pick Alyssa. But to a certain extent, like, they have full control when there's a triangle of, like, I always thought it was who goes first. It's always the more dramatic situation. But in this time, like, for good TV reasons, Gio should have been able to pick Julia. And the fact that he wasn't leads me to believe there must have been something else there.
I guess unless they then wanted Gio to pick Fran, so that way Asaf was forced with Camille and then had to call out that he really wanted to be with Francesca.
I mean, maybe, but that's like, to me, that was less of a payoff than it would have been if Gio picked Julia.
Why would you
pick the lesser payoff?
I still wanted to see Gio pick Julia. But I mean, we guess we got it anyway because we got like Caitlin freaking out. And I mean, it seems like we're just getting the Gio Steven thing next week anyway. So
right, but you're saying you would have wanted to see. Oh my God, I'm choking right now. I'm sorry. No, I don't know. It just like it's something I always knew, like obviously the producers know who each person is thinking about and put them in an order. But I didn't think of it. I thought of it in terms of drama. I never thought about it before in terms of like preventing matches or ensuring blackouts or ensuring success. Like they have complete
that
control.
That is interesting. Like I didn't think about that either. I just don't really get how it really applies here. But maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm the buffoon.
As usual. But yeah, no. So when this is hysterical to me, when Steven leans in to hug Julia, I've never seen someone look so uncomfortable who's picked by the person they allegedly want to be standing next to.
I think I saw a question about this that someone asked, but I have to ask also, have they even kissed?
Molly said that. No, not that we've seen, and they're definitely not going to.
So it's a point Steven's gonna like just be looked at as like a complete loser in all this situation.
Well, I mean, I do think it just goes back to like that Steven knows, or Julia spun this whole thing of like, I'm a good girl, I don't want to be seen like this on television, or I have a crazy ex and I don't want him to get upset, or like I feel like she could pretty much tell him anything and he would get on board with it.
Right.
And she lied through all production, allegedly. So if she can fool MTV, she can fool someone who's already in love with her.
That's a very good point.
But yes, when Gio picks Francesca and is like, if Julia's my match, I'm going to get what I want. Like, is that a threat? Like, what does that mean? Are you going to kill Steven? Like, I was so put off by that.
Everything Gio says puts me off, though. But I forgot the man when he said like, oh, you could cut out my tongue and like just based on my body language, I get what I want. Like the guy is just a walking disaster. But yeah. And then this is where I'm talking about Kaylin going a little too far. Like you made your point. You don't need to now get up and make a scene about it.
Yeah, this is where I wrote it in my notes, which is just like, while I agree with her, you need to not be involved. It's not, it honestly only serves to make her look bad at this point, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it absolutely makes it makes you look like the petty, jealous one who is still in love with Gio and just lashing out.
Is there any situation that you can see anyone left in the house ever being interested in Kaylin?
I could definitely someone more interested in Kaylin than someone genuinely interested in Gio.
Oh, I'm not even, it's not even worth posing that question. Okay. Although I would have said that last week and look at Francesca. I almost think some of the girls have gotten more desperate as they've gone through rejections, which I, you know, I'm with them. Like, I'm not trying to say that I would do better than that. But I just feel like the way that Kaylin has been all about Gio and now is like getting up in matchups, stepping to him, stepping to Francesca. Like, I feel like that's more off-putting to guys. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, it is.
A girl like that Gio can't just like smooth talk his way into certain girls.
Right. I mean, it needs to end this week. Like this needs to be end of it. Like going forward, Kaylin needs to be like, Gio's doing his own thing. I need to start doing my own thing also. She can't. If it can, because there's not that much more time left. That it's like things ended a week too. Like there's still only 4 weeks, so she's got to just be done with it. And this will still give her a decent amount of time to try to pursue something.
Do you think she's capable of it though?
I mean, I think she thinks she is, but I think from the other end, probably the guys is not. But
I mean, it's still not even over on Twitter. Like she's still tweet. You know, it's just like, and I don't blame her. Like I don't know that I'd like get over what happened to her. So I'm not like saying she needs to take less time to do so. But like she's telling Francesca in the deleted scene, like I'm not in love with him anymore. I'm not mad at you or him or whatever. Like, that's not true. Like, you're clearly mad. You're probably still in love with him. My heart goes out to her. He screwed her completely, lied to her. But I kind of think it's too late for Kaylin.
I mean, if I had a bet, I would probably agree with you. I don't see Kaylin shooting off any I love yous on Twitter.
Now, we said that this was a great episode for John. I'm going to say this was a great episode for Cam because the Mitch watch this week was a legal trial over Cam's alleged giant penis.
Oh, is this like the bonus scene or something?
This was like in the Podbuster, like in between the commercials.
I don't even remember this scene either.
Incredible. I usually miss this, so no problem. No, so basically it was like all of them in these goofy outfits. Like Julia was like Cam's lawyer, whatever. It's like Gio was or Gio was Cam's lawyer, whatever. It was like the people versus OJ Simpson, but Are You the One version. And it was kind of confusing because at first, then there's like some fake court set up and Victoria says to the camera, like, I've read about penises like this, but it was the first time I've seen one this big, something like that.
Whoa.
And congrats. there's some trial going on. I don't know if it was a joke or if this was like real because of the joke, like this was happening because Victoria said this to people. Mm-hmm. Not that Cam remembers anything. And then Sam at the end is like the court reporter and he's like, we're all dumber for having seen this. It was just like a goofy bit, but, good, very good episode. Very strong showing from Cam.
Yeah, good job. You know what?
Good job.
Way
to Ryan
be, Cam.
Wishes you a hearty mazel, yeah. Dove.
Mazel on the penis there, Cam.
Okay, I wish I could clip that out for future use.
So Tyler, picking the call. How about that?
You skipped right over Prosper because you're so nervous about Cam's big penis affecting you.
Prosper picking Kaylin, yeah. Then Tyler picking the goal. The goal is perfect.
I just feel like what happened between them, like, isn't that bad to still be like a thing. But I guess if it were me, it could be 10 years before I let that go. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess on the degree of like all the things that have happened, like telling you I'm going to propose and then breaking up with you, or expecting the next three words you hear to be like, I love you. And instead, I slept with Francesca. It's not as bad, but for her, it's probably pretty bad. And Tyler just doesn't seem like a nice guy. So
no, that's true. And nobody, there's like, it's probably not a coincidence that no one else has ever made a connection with him since that week.
I wish I had like listed in front of you. It feels like every week Tyler's either the last pick or like second to last pick, either when the guys are picking or the girls are picking.
Oh yeah. And then Asaf and Camille, which I mean, totally stunned me that this happened. But this must have been like Asaf said to producers, like, I want to pick Francesca. So then Ryan knew he had, you know, what's the word for like a good thing? Knew he had a good thing when he could ask him, like, who was your real first choice?
Knew he had the deets, the gossip, get your popcorn ready. I don't know.
I was shocked that Asaf said this. Like, why say this?
Because I feel like he says this every week. I feel like whoever he's with, he always wants to be with someone who's on the stage. Like, he did it with Tori, and that blew up. Now he's doing it here.
And then it's
he just
like,
doesn't know what he wants. He wants everyone.
I want Camille. I mean, I've wanted Camille for weeks to every time Asaf plays her out to walk away. Now she says, like, I don't know if he's my match because, like, if it hasn't been me yet, like, maybe it's not me. Do you think this is the end of Camille trying to get with Asaf, or will she still persist?
No, she made this exact same speech last week, didn't she? Like, oh, I sat with you when you were after Tori. I sat with you after you hooked up with Francesca, and I'm still here. She said the exact same phrase she said tonight, and now she's in the same spot. So, no, yeah, she'll probably do this next week.
I took that more as... That was 2 weeks ago. That was the last boys pick too when he picked her.
Yeah.
Right. So like that was more like he picked her and he wanted to pick her. So she was like, all right, I've sat back long enough. Now it's my turn. Like, don't fuck it up kind of thing. And now he fucked it up and she's like, well, like, I guess it's not me. But she's still not coming in as strong as I'd like her to.
No,
against
she's not.
And then Francesca, like, oh my God, my heart just broke. She was like, I would do anything to stand next to him. Oh my God. That was like eighth grade dance levels of love.
Because the last time she was standing next to him, he was like, no, I'd rather be with Tori.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Asaf is Teflon, man.
Yeah, because he's quoting after Ryan. I'm not going to do the accent because I really bad at it. But he's like, yo, you tell me to follow my heart. This is what I'm doing. I'm following my heart.
None of that made sense to me, but they get four beams again, and Graham Gates was stunned. He says, I thought there would be three beams with Steven, Julia, Camille, and Asaf, and Torgan. Which one of those three do you think wasn't a beam? Or just extrapolating, like, who do we think are the two matches from this setup?
The two that seemed to me the most likely were Francesca and Gio and Julia and Steven.
That's a double down because the only alternative is like Julia and Gio.
Yeah. At least the only alternative that they're presenting to us.
Right. But even so, like, we're really, so someone pulled out, I haven't looked at the charts on Are You the One Math? Cause like, no, I feel either. Like in the past we've talked about not looking at those. Someone tweeted to us that there are only 8 possible matches yet. It was like, out of these 8 possible matches left, who do you think reigns? I didn't look at it. But there are really only 8 possible combinations. That's incredible.
Wow, that means they're doing good. Wow, they're doing great. I mean, they'll probably have it locked up after next week then.
Well, so they are doing still not as well as season one. So I went right to the chart. So if anyone wants to avoid the charts on Are You the One Math, you can still go to it and you can go all the way down. And at the end is always the graph that shows, compares the seasons. So at this point, they have like just under 10, which I guess makes sense for 8. And season 6, according to the graph, looks about they had 5 left. And so next week is when season 1, I didn't say season 6, I'm sorry, I meant season 1. Next week, week 7, is when season 1 got all of their matches.
Right. At least through the math.
No, they won in season 1.
No, they won week 9.
Oh, why did I think they won week 7?
No, week 9.
I'm asleep.
Yeah.
Would you bet your life on that? Because I'm on Wikipedia right now and I'm not afraid to use it.
Yeah, because I remember the finale was the 9th episode and people were like, what the hell? This clearly means they won.
Oh, right. Week 6, there was no ceremony. Okay. So, yes.
Because I'm pretty sure that week is when they had like the double truth booth and that's when they won.
Like, yeah, it is interesting that they've also had no extra helps this season. Like, they haven't had it where you can send anyone in, and they haven't had it where it's a double truth booth.
Not yet, at least. Well, they haven't done the double truth booths in season 1, I'll think. But
I'm just saying in general, they haven't. It's interesting that they haven't had any helps at all. They don't really need them.
No, they don't. They've been doing pretty well.
Because they've gotten here without that. Mm-hmm. All right, if I'm looking at the matches this week, I feel like Asaf and Camille are a match because who else is Asaf's match at this point? So, like, if you're saying Francesca and Giovanni are a match, like, who's Asaf's match?
Maybe Victoria?
Nah, come on.
I have no idea.
All right. No, it's fair. We're literally could not be making this up more. I am pulling for Cam and Victoria, but I stand by the fact that I don't think there's any possible way that they're a match. I'm going to say Camille and Asaf are a match. Stick with my preseason picks. Oh, all right. Now let's just talk this out because there were 3 matches week 1. Mm-hmm. Alyssa and Sam were together and Cameron and Michaela. So only one other match from week 1 could be right. And that's Asaf and Francesca were together. Cam and Victoria were together. John and Emma were together.
Interesting.
And Morgan and Julia, who I also thought had a chance of being a match. So I'm going to say Camille and Asaf, which means I'm saying no to Cam and Victoria. I'm sorry.
Dun, dun,
I love
dun.
You in theory. And then, I don't know, something tells me, okay, because I feel like Julia and Giovanni are a match because that's just like how things work out for me. If I'm going to put myself in it, it's like, Gio is such an asshole and he was right about Kaylin, even though I wanted him to be wrong. And now he's such an arrogant prick that he's going to be right about Julia and Gio. Like, that's just how it has to be. Like, he's such a sucking weirdo. Sucking. I just don't want to curse. He's the worst person and he's going to be right and everyone's still going to hate him. It's going to be no validation. So I'm not going to say Julia and Steven. I'm not going to say Francesca and Gio. I'm going to say Camille and Asaf. And then, like, something crazy has to be true if I'm right, which is, like, Kaylin and Prosper, Nicole and Tyler.
Well, there's usually always, like, random matches that make no sense at the end. So those could be a couple.
Maybe Tori and Morgan. I don't know. It's going to be a wild ride. I'm excited to see how these matches shake up.
Yeah. What's interesting is there's not really a solid couple going forward. So the blackout potential is in play going forward, I think.
I also think that it's interesting that I feel like we've gotten to know almost all the cast, at least a little bit. Whereas, like, in seasons past, like, who's Joey? Like, who's, you know, like, there are people we always say, like, we have no idea who they are. They've done a really good job. At least, like, we've seen one or two scenes or one or two storylines with every person.
Yeah, I would say probably Tyler and Morgan have had the least airtime, but we still had some from them.
But we at least got the Tyler story with Nicole early on, and then we're getting the Morgan and Tori thing. So, like, it's not like, who are they? But yeah, we'll see. We'll probably still get those random matches. I don't know. I thought they were going to get more beams this week, but now that I'm looking at all the weeks together, wasn't possible. Wasn't possible.
Math doesn't lie.
All right. So Plainview Sue wants to know, I didn't watch season one, but has there ever been a contestant or whatever you call them as disgusting as Gio? He seriously makes me ill.
No, he's the worst. I think he's actually the worst of the four seasons. Because at least
I would agree with you.
Because I was gonna say, because at least like if you're thinking about who the assholes were from the previous seasons, like Devin was an asshole, but he was also like funny in some ways. And same with Scally. And I don't know, if it, like season two, I guess Leighton, but he was more like just a pompous jackass. But he wasn't nearly as bad as Gio.
Ooh, now that you brought up Leighton. See, I thought of the same people. Like, I was like, maybe Scally in terms of just like cold, hard player. But Scally was so likable that you just didn't feel disgusted by it. And that's the same thing you're getting at. Like, Devin's likable to an extent. Scally was like my favorite. Leighton is an absolute garbage can, but I don't think he was like really, I think we mostly didn't think he was like hurting people. Like, yeah, Jess, but it was almost like Jess was being so pathetic that you just had to like excuse Leighton.
I may have blocked it out, but I feel like Leighton's his worst thing was just at the end when he picked Christina as opposed to just guaranteeing the win. But that was just like him trying to like be a arrogant show off. I'd be like, oh no, this is what I think. As opposed to just Gio like being a blatant piece of crap person.
If I remember correctly, Leighton like totally led Jess on the whole time and then talked smack about her on TV for multiple weeks. But maybe because it was isolated to one person, I'm not sure. Gio, I think we're both unanimously saying, is forever the slimiest.
And he's getting worse is also the problem. He's like getting worse as it goes along.
I also feel like he's just like mentally not all there. Like Leighton was whatever. Scally was whatever.
He's going to crack someone.
But I genuinely think that Gio is just like completely unstable and scary.
Yeah, things are going to pop next week.
Well, I'm just looking at this. Camille and Asafa have been matched up from weeks 2 through 6.
Really?
That's what Wikipedia says. But now it makes sense because he only picked Francesca week 1. Then he snubbed her. Then Tori and him were like together and then eliminated right away, like through a truth booth. And it's just always been Camille. Oh, I'm sticking with them. I'm writing it out. Come on, Camille. Probably not. Okay. Eric J. Williams says, who are the least likable men and women on the show? Do other people share my irrational hatred of Morgan? I can't stand it, but I don't know why. So I think last week we talked about, or whenever we last talked, we talked about the most likable. Mm-hmm. Did we also do least? Or at this current status, who are your least favorites?
Gio. And I still don't like Emma, but like not nearly as much as I dislike Gio. So,
well, she hasn't had enough screen time to be disliked, maybe, but I don't know. I'm crazy. Like, I don't know who I am and what I've done with me, but I'm starting to just like everyone. I don't like Gio, but I'm not like sitting here yelling about him. Like, I feel like I yelled about Leighton and I'm just like, oh my God, Gio, like, I'm so sad for you. Mm. But I mean, Gio's not great. Julia's not great. You know, everyone's got their issues, but I'm just like loving every episode. So I feel like this is one of my, I'm going to say this is my favorite cast just because I don't have like a standout hating person.
Well, there you go. Nicole's the best though. Still.
I mean, okay. She's the most normal. Like if I had to pick one person to like have lunch with, Nicole's like the only person I could realistically see having like a normal conversation with.
Right. I'd agree there.
But I still think Tori is amazing. Victoria, Camille, and Tori, I think, are still standing strong in my top four.
It's a power trio.
If I never saw Nicole on TV again, I wouldn't care. Right? Like, I think she's great. I think she's a great person. And I think she's terrific casting just because she's normal and it's strange that they casted someone so normal. But if I never heard from her again, I would probably forget about her from this season.
Right. I'd agree with that.
And Eric also asked, but I like trimmed it because we've talked about it. Any change in who you want to see on the challenge? Would you want to see Nicole in the challenge?
Probably not. I don't know. She doesn't seem to. I don't think she'd fit in well there.
So do you just want her number? Is that what this is about?
No, she's just cool on the show. That's exactly what the way that you said it. Like, she's great on the show. And then after that, poof. But she's good.
Any guys we feel like since the last time we spoke are challenged? Do you think Asaf's going to get the call?
I don't. I feel like I say this every week. It's just so tough to tell because a lot of it's also theme based, and that it's like, do any of these people have anything going on after? And I mean, all the calls have made no sense. So I would guess no if got to my head, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him pop up.
If we're moving in the direction of a team challenge or a battle of the seasons or a fresh, like, new veterans versus rookies thing, then any of these people could kind of get the call. If we're going for an X's, Asaf has multiple people they could peg together for him. Arrival, not as much. I mean, I don't think they're going to want Julian, and that would be like the only, like, the fat ass thing they could stretch.
Right.
But I feel like Asaf kind of fits the bill, but are they just having him on as like a gimmick, or do they want him to like ride it through?
We're going to have to wait and see on that.
That's a wait and see, guys. It's a wait and see. Okay, so last question. Nick Fishman says, after what we saw from how production treated Mike last season, the issues with Gio seems ready to bust open. So that was just a comment. But do you feel like Gio's at risk here?
To like get in a fight and get kicked out?
Get bounced.
Yeah. I mean, if I wanted to see if someone invaded his personal space, it could have happened this week.
But again, nobody wants to be around him. He's just all over people's face. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on the show before we get to Twitter?
No, lay the Twitter stuff on me. I'm curious.
All right. In the future, I need like a couple seconds to stall to get to the album.
Okay.
Here I am. Okay. So Tori, her song is called Not My Fault. And I think Haley Strong screen capped this and sent it to me. So thanks, Haley. And if it wasn't Haley, still thanks, Haley, for being great. So she said, Not My Fault was written for girls who get slut-shamed by ignorant people. This anthem is meant for anyone who has been tortured by others for being, quote, attractive or, quote, sexy. People use words such as these to dull the shine that you have as an individual. Take back the power that was taken from you when someone else called you a, quote, slut, quote, hoe, quote, tease, etc. Take back that confidence and don't listen to people. All right, you got the idea. You know, Tori's living that life.
I appreciate the hustle of people who put out like songs and stuff like that while they're on the brief time they're on TV.
Yeah, this is your 15 minutes. And I'm already the one. It's more like 5 minutes. So good for Tori. I listened to the little bit she had on Instagram. It's good.
Good for her.
I have no taste in music, but I think it's good.
There you go. The alley approval.
So Giovanni and Steven, this is also going back to last week, got in a little scuffle. Giovanni said, we all know why you really want me at the house. Hashtag keep her close, bro. Because this was about last week when Steven was like, oh, yeah, Gio, you should definitely give Kaylin a try before you're ruled not a match. And Steven says, because rats, bees and roaches never welcome at the crib. I keep my shit clean, boy.
Mm.
And the reason I pulled this was because Francesca says, I literally can't with the cast of the show. Same. All right. So here's all the nonsense that Gio tweeted. He said, what happened to the part where John licked whipped cream off Kaylin? Chin scratch emoji. This is going back to the scene last week when Morgan got out the whipped cream.
Right.
And then he said, so I guess that whipped cream shit didn't happen. I forgot we were rewriting history. Hashtag fuck me, right? Or I could read it in a different way, but I know what he means.
I love when you just like read something directly. You're like, oh, wait, that's not how I should have read that.
No, but I read it right. But if I read it the other way, it's like, it's different.
You did it perfectly.
All right. So then he says, so it's okay for her to try and move on, but when I do, I'm a piece of shit. Hashtag double standards. Double chin scratch emoji. And then he says, good job editing. Let's make all the guys look like fuckboys, in quotes, and all the girls look like T-Swift. Hashtag fuck out of here. Which, you know, this is dated because now you really wouldn't want to look like T-Swift.
Yeah, unless she wants to sort of like turn heel.
And then Gio says, when a girl pretends to be loyal and friends with another girl because she's scared to get that ass beat, cry, laugh emoji. I don't even know what the hell that is.
I don't know either.
And then he released a single called Ode to K.
Gio released a single?
Gio released a single.
Oh my gosh. I guess I had to applaud that hustle too.
No, you don't, because it's about Kaylin. Oh, it's like God. Ode to K. And then Jane Smith, I almost read her email address. I don't need to do that. Emailed you some screenshots that I'll pull from about that. So he tweeted at Amazed by K, can you call me or unblock me? Thanks, heart. Wrote, love changes, a thug changes, and soulmates become strangers. Broken heart emoji. Then he starts going, I'm done with this fucking show. No more live tweets. No more Periscopes after episodes. I'm done. Let the record show that all he was tweeting the other night was, follow me on Periscope, Periscope. Then he wrote, this is laughable. Hashtag Ode to K is my parting gift to her and all the fans. Oh, yeah. So it's for her. It's not for him. Then he wrote, I put myself on the effing cross for you. You threw stones at me instead of helping me down. Okay, Jesus. Then he wrote, you guys can believe all the bullshit editing you want. I'm done playing this game. No one from production or the network better call me either. I'm not selling my soul. You can have it. So you can have it for free. Then he wrote, bad enough you took my truth. I ain't deleting shit either. Hashtag lawyer up. So thank you, Jane Smith, for that. I did miss those. So I appreciate it. If you want to send screenshots, you are welcome to do so.
I'm just picturing the image of Gio in court next to like MTV about what him saying on Twitter, and it's a wonderful image.
So Gio is a complete lunatic, unsurprising. This is surprising. Victoria writes, I had to put my account on private, getting threatened, someone figured out where I work, scary, I'm just a regular girl, don't forget that. And this is 2 weeks ago, not that she did anything this week that would warrant that. And Amanda from The Challenge and from last season wrote, WTF are people threatening you for? WTF. And Victoria wrote back, people don't like my opinions, I guess. Some real freaks out there. Kaylin wrote back, WTH. And Victoria wrote, yeah, my boss is getting emailed about me. I don't know how they figured out where I work. It hasn't been posted anywhere. And there was some more stuff where basically Victoria then said like something to the effect of like, I'm not going to stop talking about my opinions. If you have a problem, like unfollow me. But again, if you're sending death threats or calling the offices of people who are on these shows, you need to get a grip. People, I feel terrible that that's happening to her.
People suck. Just remember that motto. People suck.
We suck, but we're not calling their work.
Well, other people suck worse.
Apparently, that's giving me nightmares. Like, I'm currently don't have a job, but in the future, I would not like somebody.
I cannot imagine getting the urge to look up someone's work and then actually calling them. Like, that's other level shit.
So now moving on to this week's stuff, Morgan wrote, I love my man Gio, but the alpha and the smartest person of a room doesn't need to be announced. Oh, sorry. The alpha and smartest person of a room doesn't need to announce it. And Gio said, you're absolutely right, my brother. I'm learning. Or just, sorry. Oh, my God. You're absolutely right, brother. I'm learning. Promise. Prayer hands emoji or high five emoji, depending on how you use it. And heart. Now, Princess Francesca, has she always been Princess Francesca? Am I just noticing this?
Yeah, I think so.
This is horrible if I'm just noticing this. All right, so she wrote, Gio and I did not have sex, nor did we come close to it. That was all implied. We slept together because I was weak and lonely. Hashtag are you the one? Yeah, does MTV need to zoom in on like a discarded tissue if that was not related to the two people using it? Like, that's pretty low level shit.
Got to paint that picture. It's amazing. That could have just been from like anything. Yeah, but or like, anytime.
If we're going to believe Francesca, like there's stuff, enough stuff going on. Like even if the tissue was from them, like I don't want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. The zoom in was a bit much.
And then Francesca says, one of the worst decisions I've made was going on reality TV when I'm still really flawed as a person. Hashtag are you the one? Some people came into the house already secure in who they are and knowing what they deserve. I was not one of them, but I'm learning. So ignore what I said about Victoria. Maybe I was confusing her with Francesca. But what Francesca did say in defense of Francesca, I'm sorry, what Victoria did say in defense of Francesca was, unless you see the penetration yourself, don't assume that a reality TV hookup is sex. It could be a makeout or it could be a handjob. Chill out. And then someone named Drew wrote, future lawyer right here, which killed me because like, yes, debating the merits of whether or not penetration has occurred on reality TV, definitely worth going to law school for.
Cara Maria could have used that for the challenge.
And then Emma said, "Oh, I like Julia's dress tonight. I was so mean and jealous of her that I let her borrow my stuff." So that's just Emma again. People like come after Emma, and apparently she was getting along with Julia. We just were not shown that. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking to see if Victoria tweeted something about her being insecure. Oh, yeah, she did. Okay. So she said, "I spent my time in Maui feeling not good enough, not worthy of love, unwanted, etc. But the love I get from you guys makes it all worth it. At the end of the day, I'm grateful for an all-expenses-paid trip to Hawaii, memories, the opportunity to be on TV, etc. Worth it all." So it seems like a lot of the girls were getting down about the time in the house. Down about themselves.
I had to deal with these 10 guys for all this time.
And I imagine it's tough. It's tough when you're like in direct comparison with a bunch of girls for these guys. And, you know, the guy blacks out when you hooked up.
Yeah. I mean, Francesca put it pretty well, like tough to go on reality TV when you don't know yourself really. So that's pretty real. And that's pretty tough for everyone.
Now, Brian, programming question. What do we do if the episode ends next week? Like, it's hard enough. Ryan says, like, it could end at any week. They don't know. It could end at any week. We don't know. This matters to us, too, guys.
If the season ends next week, we'll be here. But it will not end next week. So we won't.
I'm going to be on vacation. But I'll be here. We'll figure it out.
Okay, the season of next week, I will be here. And I'll just ramble to myself about, oh, my God, I can't believe the show is over in 7 weeks.
I would love that. I'd listen.
There you go. So that's something to look forward to if the season ends. Solo podcast.
An exciting programming note for this week. We're covering the challenge too on Thursday. And it's not like me to announce this before we officially have a time set, but we will hopefully be having America's player, RHAP favorite, Eric Stein from Big Brother joining us to talk the challenge. Closet challenge aficionado.
Solid hedge adding the hopefully there. Just to like keep that little out for yourselves, just ourselves, just in case it blows up.
As the ancient Hawaiians say, don't write checks your tush can't cash.
Exactly. Yeah, but it'll be a lot of fun to talk to good old Eric Stein on Thursday. That'll be fun.
Until then, that's all I have. I'm just so nervous it's not going to come through. But
We'll cut this out. We'll go back in the system. We'll cut it out. We're raising for people's brains.
We don't edit.
That's true. But you can subscribe at robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can leave comments and reviews there. Or you can follow me on Twitter at BusDriversRoute.
You can follow me at LashTweets. And I don't read the 5-star reviews here because most of them seem to be about the challenge. But if they're about Are You the One, we will thank you here and or on the challenge podcast. Or if you just want to shoot the shit with us, there's a comment section under the podcast on robinswebsite.com. So you can hit us up there and be weird with us there.
Absolutely. And we'll be back unless the season ends next week. I will be here. Otherwise, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Until then, have a good one.